Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Are you ready? All ready for the Big 12 tournament today, Mr. Haney?
I am, and I have a special treat for you. I'm live downtown Kansas City at the Marriott Hotel in the presence of greatness, the TCU color analyst, John Denton's right here. He didn't know I was going to do this, but John, can you give us 30 seconds of keys from a TCU perspective? He just thought he came up to shake my hand and share some coffee, but we're going to get live radio here. John, tell us what you got. Keys for TCU.
Well, I think, number one, they've got to replicate what they did last night. That's probably the best game they've played in conference since they played Kansas early in the conference schedule. Get off to a hot start. Get their big guys, their scorers going. Vladimir Bozianski had 14 points in the first half. That's his biggest first half in over a month. And they can't afford to start slow, get in a hole. That was pretty much the prescription for that seven-game losing streak. They'd start slow, then fight their way back, and had so much work to do late in the game, they couldn't get it all done. Last night, they got off to a hot start, and they were also more physical. They played a lot of zone last night, went to the 2-3, packed it in tight, fouled a lot of guys in the paint, and were probably the most physical that we've seen all through the conference schedule.
As soon as they went to that 2-3 zone, a 15-2 run, really blew it open from there. John, thanks for the keys, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. See you at the arena.
That's John Denton, guys. There you go. An extra bonus guest. You never know what you're going to get in the postseason.
Hey, that's pretty cool. We had an interview within an interview.
That's right.
That was neat. I don't think I've ever experienced that. That was well done. I like it. Another first. I interviewed a mascot a week or two ago, and now we get an interview within an interview. That was pretty sweet. Nice job, Brian. Way to go. Brian is also our Big 12 beat reporter for TCU. Thank you. Well done.
Happy to help. You never know who you're going to run into.
That's why you just play
I'm
on the fly.
Staked outside the team dining room right now. They're going through their walkthrough and their breakfast and all that, and I won't be able to do that when Coach Self walks by. So it'll be time to record our pregame interview. But anybody else watch by, maybe even the great Greg Gurley. We might even get Gurley in his wacky red pants.
Oh, God, Gurley those are looking. Wacky.
Well, I don't know who wears red pants. I was going to make a comparison to paint the picture for you, but really only he wears red pants. You know, guys at Avis wear red jackets, but only Greg Gurley in the red pants. You might even get a comment or two from him. You never know.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to hear him and talk about his red pants, no question. Hey, okay, Josh Jackson not going to go today. Hopefully, KU will win today, so he'll be back in the lineup coming up tomorrow in the semifinals. How big an impact is that for KU in this matchup against TCU?
It's big, but I don't know that it's deadly, necessarily. I think if you want proof that they can beat TCU without Josh Jackson, you have it. Fort Worth. Now, that was December, but you might recall Jackson had foul trouble. He only played 12 minutes, was a shell of his normal self, I believe 4 points in that one. And LeGerald Vick really had to step it up. And Vick turned in one of his best games of his Kansas career, did that in part because of the opportunity that was there, but also I think he was motivated because Jalen Fisher, who's the highest-rated recruit in TCU history, former AAU teammate with LeGerald Vick. So these guys have a history together. We saw Vic really bring it in that ball game. 17 points, 5 of 11 shooting, hit 3 threes in 34 minutes. And, you know, he may be called upon to do some similar things today. If you asked me to guess, and I'll know here in about 10 minutes for sure, but I think that they'll likely start off with a more traditional two big look. They like to bring one of those guards off the bench. If you just put Vic in for Jackson and go with, you know, four guard, one big lineup, then who are you bringing in as your guard to spell a guard off the bench? So I think they'll probably go over more traditional 3-2 with Carlton Bragg in the lineup. But we'll see. We'll see what Coach Self comes out with here in a bit. But certainly excited to see this team face some adversity and possibly rise above it. While you never like to have that happen to you, especially in the postseason, if they could survive in advance today without their second-team All-American, I think that whoever it is that puts the team on its back may gain some confidence to draw from later in the big dance when it really matters. So I think all these things are potential opportunities for KU. At least that's how we're going to look at it today. And hopefully they'll have a way to beat a TCU team that, to me, looked tired and out of gas and just limping down the stretch, as you heard John Denton refer to with their losing skid that hit seven games. Then they come up here with fresh legs, and they look like that team that 3 weeks ago was very much a projected NCAA bubble team. So certainly expect a good challenge out of them.
Similar question for you today as I gave you last week, and that was the motivation card, because KU has pretty much everything wrapped up. Everybody's saying they have a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Of course, they won the league by four games, so they don't have to win the Big 12 tournament to justify to anybody they're the best team in the league, and they've been that for 13 years. But the flip side of that is when they went to Oklahoma State, they could play loose. They had things wrapped up, but they could be loose and have fun, and they had fun, and it was a great, fun game to watch if you like a lot of offense. Does Josh Jackson not play today maybe provide a little bit extra motivation for this team to say, listen, we can win without Josh. We're more than just one or two guys. We can win collectively without Josh Jackson?
Yeah, wouldn't you hate to be Devontae Graham or Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk and lose this game today and then have everybody say, well, clearly this is, you know, Frank and Josh's team, and if you take one of those guys away, they're not the same. No doubt, there's going to be a difference without a second-team All-American and a guy who impacts the game in literally every category. But this is still Kansas basketball. This is still a team that has a second-team All-League guy in Devontae Graham, who I think will take on a bigger role. They've seen more out of guys like Carlton Bragg and Dwight Colby of late, so when they go with the traditional two-big look, I think you've got some recent success out of those guys to draw from. And then with Gerald Vick, I think, showed us at times down the stretch in the midst of Spee's struggles, you know, that he's a guy that once again can be leaned upon. And so I think for all those guys, they kind of take it personally a little bit if an expectation was that no Josh Jackson, then a Kansas loss. They believe, hey, you know, we may not be the deepest team in terms of number that Kansas has had in recent years, but we're certainly one of the best teams that Bill Self's had. And that's saying something when you're talking about being in line for seven one seeds, not in the Big 12 tournament, but in the Big Dance. This would be their seventh one in the last 11 years. And yet I think Bill Self would tell you this club has a chance to go as far as any of them. And that's really exciting as we get set for Selection Sunday here in just, what, 3 days?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sneaking up on us. Brian's appearance here on our program brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them, 738-5701. Okay, Brian, if Kansas doesn't win the Big 12 tournament, who would you pick to win it if it's not Kansas?
Well, I think that it's so wide open this year, and if they don't win it, you could make a case that Oklahoma State and Iowa State over the final month were about as hot as any. So if they don't win it, that would mean that either they lost today or one of those two teams beat them tomorrow. And I'd take my chances with one of those two teams in the Saturday game, even though I really respect Baylor and West Virginia and everything on that side of the bracket. It's just, this time of year, it's all about momentum. So if you phrase the question, if Kansas doesn't win it, who does? I'd probably take whoever else is on that side of the bracket just based on sheer momentum. I don't think it'll be a team that's had to win on four straight days. We've not seen a team lower than a four seed win this thing. So I think it's going to be, you know, a team in that Iowa State, Oklahoma State side of it, which OSU would be a five seed. But right now, you know, outside of the 90-85 home loss in Stillwater to Kansas, they were really cooking with gas, having won 10 of their last 12 league games. So I think these are all teams you'd have to look to. But we'll see. You know, West Virginia now gets a 10 seed. And Texas is playing with house money. That's going to be interesting to watch. Baylor's taking on a K-State team that's fighting for not only its NCAA life, but perhaps the job security of its head coach. So who knows what the cipher in that one. Therefore, I might go with one of those other teams if your qualifier of no Kansas is part of the question.
I agree with you. I was saying the same thing before we brought you on. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, I like the winner of that one to win it if KU doesn't win it. Do you think the Big 12 will get six teams in, or will they be stuck with five?
Ask me about 10:30 tonight.
Cheater.
You know, it shouldn't come down to just that, but it might, and many feel it will. If K-State wins, they're in. If they don't, then probably not. And to me, I've said all throughout our reports this year that I thought an 8-10 team could get in this year out of the Big 12, given what was going on with some of the other mid-majors and given the overall strength of this league. And I think K-State's, you know, right there in that conversation. And if I'm a K-State apologist, which clearly is the voice of the Jayhawks, I'm not. But if I'm looking at their resume and making a case, I'd say, hey, listen, when we went through a little bit of a swoon, we were playing without DJ Johnson for a while there. You know, we got him back. We've got a little bit of that swagger and edge back, the toughness that he brings. And they went 2-0 in a must-win week for them. Now they got to come up here, and some say that must-win week rolls into a second. And I think if they beat Baylor, they're in. But if not, you know, pretty pretty darn good season, you know, to play the way they did at times this year. I know it wasn't good enough in the eyes of a lot of K-State fans and the listening audience, and I know they really want the coach who's south in Stillwater there, but I was talking to Kellis Robinette yesterday, who's the beat writer for the K-State Wildcats, and I found this to be one of the best quotes of the week. He said, you know what, I hear from so many K-State fans who want Weber out, and those same K-State fans think that Brad Underwood should have been the coach of the year. Mm-hmm. I ask you, Mr. Wade Gerster, what was Brad Underwood's record in the league, and what was Bruce Weber's record in the league? 9-9?
Yep, one game better. 10. Yep, exactly.
Oh, what a difference one game could make. But many of those same fans are the ones that are touting one for the other and that sort of thing. And so the point is, they've been really close. And as a guy who typically, I'm not afraid to say, I wave the Big 12 flag. I want to stick our chest out about our league and say, we got X number of teams in and that kind of thing. Yeah, I'd like to see them get in. And I think it'd be good for the league if they did. So, not that I'm going to be showing up with a purple lapel on my jacket tonight or anything, but I will be interested to see what comes out of that one because I think that'll tell the tale.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, time for off the wall question before we let you go. I don't know if you heard about this, but Homer Simpson, yes, the Homer Simpson, will be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't know if you knew that. So, my question for you is, who is your favorite all-time cartoon character?
What's the ballot that he's getting in on here? I know they have contributors and all that. What's the story on Homer?
It says here that the acclaimed TV series The Simpsons will be toasted in Cooperstown, New York for the 25th anniversary of the cult classic episode Homer at the Bat. And so that, I don't know if that episode particularly is going to go in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but that's what it's about. Had Ken Griffey Jr., Wade Boggs, Don Mattingly, Roger Clemens, Jose Canseco. You remember that episode? Daryl Strawberry, Steve Sachs, Mike Sosha, Ozzie Smith, they're all in that.
Yeah. Okay, so the question was, who's my favorite cartoon character of all time?
Yeah, exactly. Like, for me, I grew up with Wile E. Coyote and Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner and all those.
You know what? And if we're talking childhood, then it probably would be somebody from the era and the vintage you just gave there. But quite honestly, I was a huge Family Guy fan before it was cool to be a Family Guy fan. Uh-huh. If you remember, they were on the air for about 3 years, and then they went off the air. The show got canceled. And I was in college at the time, and I remember buying on eBay a pirated version of, like, real grainy, you know, recorded on VHS of Family Guy's first three seasons from somebody in Canada. And I was one of the cult following that was like, man, this show is so good. Why did it get cut off before its time? Kind of like Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And eventually it was brought back, and now it's had a huge success. So give me Peter Griffin if we're talking about more, I don't want to say adult theme, but a little bit more mature audience cartoon. He'll be my favorite.
Along the cartoon angle real quick, Beavis and Butthead. Beavis and Butthead. The anniversary of that cartoon on MTV was yesterday in 1993, on this date in history, yesterday, 1993. Do you ever watch Beavis and Butthead?
Probably more than I should have said. my beef with that show was those guys were hilarious. You had to put up with all the music videos for 80% of the episode. I want more Beavis and a little bit more of the Butthead, but not all these crappy music videos they make it fun of. That was my beef with that show.
Instead of more cowbell, more Butthead, more Beavis and Butthead. I love it. hey, man, we always enjoy listening to you. Look forward to listening to you today over on Z96.3. We got the call against TCU, and we'll talk to you again next week and look ahead to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, do me a favor. Don't make a promo out of the Beavis and Butthead conversation.
Don't worry, I won't.
He's already got the team working on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, see you, buddy.
Take care, man. See ya.